church, Tom. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's not miss the glory. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord.
That would be a sad day to miss the glory. To see what God is doing. Or to not even realize he was and miss it. Well, just so that doesn't happen, brought another one of these little short stories that we really need to be mindful of these things, because it's very important when people ask us questions or they ask us directions, and it's needful that we be very precise so that there's never anything in question about that. So here's this little story. This was a story that Billy Graham told one time, and I thought it was so good that I just had to capture it and bring it today. He tells of a time early in his ministry when he arrived in a small town to preach a sermon. And wanting to mail a letter, he asked a young boy where the post office was. When the boy had told him, Dr. Graham thanked him and said, "If you'll come to the Baptist church this evening, you can hear me telling everyone how to get to heaven." And the boy replied, "I don't think I'll be there. You don't even know where the post office is." So we must be very precise. Oh my, such a wonderful, beautiful day. God is doing some awesome things. Good report from Stephen Marsha this morning. This is the first day since May 17th, Marsha has not needed a blood transfusion.
Oh, really?
And that is, now, I know a lot of you have been on Steve's mailing list and our prayer chain and prayer list, so that is a very good report. I can't even begin to imagine what it's like to lay in a hospital room since the 17th of May, and now it's coming up on the second week of July. That's a long time to be isolated from your beloved. But what's really nice is, here's the praise report, here's the testimony of praying and releasing your faith and seeing results. Because it's not all the crying that gets God's attention. It's not all the feelings. It's not all the emotions. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith, it's impossible to please God." And that's the key. When you pray in faith, believing, that makes the difference. It's faith. And God is responding. So I took the first one. Sorry, guys, but now it's your turn.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. Good morning.
A little weak in the legs, but we'll get there. I know that. I want to congratulate everyone that's appeared today. I'm going to tell you why there was no oxygen. It started with the U.S. Navy. U.S. Navy during World War II developed an oxygen system which allowed a deep sea diver to go even deeper. So they had a control. With me, this was the case. Cedar Hill, a couple of months ago, they purchased the same type of system. And trying to get it across to some people that I didn't need oxygen was quite a thing, but we finally conquered it all. So this morning I want to pay tribute to all the musicians, that not only those that play instruments, but also those who sing in our choir. And also everyone that takes part in that. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Very good, thank you. So we'll go with our opening scripture this morning to cap off these testimonies, and also it kind of sets a spiritual atmosphere for all the good things that are yet to going to unfold today. It's in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, book of Ephesians is a very dangerous book to religious people, so I'm glad that you're all in a relationship with the Lord today. Verses 22 through 24. And I probably will come back to the remaining part of that chapter when we get to the message of walking worthy unto all pleasing. But right now, just these first three. Verse 22 says that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, or the lifestyle, putting it off, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God in righteousness and true holiness. Now, we've been doing a Bible study. It's been quite long downstairs on knowing the will of God for our lives. And sometimes people get saved, what they got saved from, don't know what they got saved for, and all they know is they got a ticket to heaven. Just don't ask that kid in that little town that Billy Graham talked to. Because if you can't find the post office, it'll be harder to find heaven. But it says to put off the former life. When a person gets born again, the Bible says that now he's a new man in Christ, just there on that banner as well, that old things have passed away. When a person comes to Christ, one of the first things that needs to happen is that we start renewing our minds to God's Word so that we know what His plan is for our life, so that we know who we are in Him and who He is in us. We also start learning that certain things in our behavior or our character that were not pleasing to the Lord, and at the time before we knew Him, we didn't really care. But after we get saved, we have a new value system. We now want to have an inner desire to want to serve the Lord and want to live for the Lord. So this makes a clear distinction. It's like, what do you usually do with maybe an old shirt or an old blouse or an old pair of pants that, you know, hangs around and gets moth holes in them and the stitches wear out and buttons fall off? You put it away, right? Well, that's like the old man, you know. That's the old nature. It's corrupt. It's decaying. It's dying day by day. And there's nothing good about it, you know. And it says, according to the deceitful lust. Lusts are desires. And what they are is they're not things that we desire of God when we're not saved. We don't desire the things of God. We desire the things that make us feel better, that make us feel good, things that we want. We're covetous, we're proud, we're boasters, and we want all the things that pamper the flesh, like all the pampered flesh parties that used to be around a few years ago. Oh, chef, I'm sorry. Pampered chef, I don't offend anyone. But you know, it's like, our lives were like it all focused around us, and suddenly we get saved, and now what happens? Well, this tells us what happens, that we're to put off those things. We're to put them off, not to pick those old raggedy garments up and just put them off, put them aside. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Why? So that we're good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. God doesn't have three wills. Don't fall into that erroneous doctrine that, well, I know I'm not in God's perfect will, but I'm in His permissive will. Could you show me what verse you're standing on so I can get in agreement with you? God only has one will. His will is good, His will is acceptable, His will is perfect. That scripture comes from Romans chapter 12 in verse 2. Being transformed. If we never change the way we think, then we will never think as Christians. We won't have the God thoughts. We won't be thinking on terms of, what does the Lord want me to do today? What does God expect of my life? What is being a Christian all about? If we collectively as a body, if we don't renew our minds, then nothing changes, because you always know that with a thought comes soon an action. And so if we don't change the way we think, we don't see people the way God sees people. We don't see Him the way He is. We don't see the Word the way He's written it. And it can be very deceptive and very defeating. You know, we were born to lose, but I've been born again to win. And so have you. If you want to win, if you want to win the battles of life, if you want to be the overcomers that God says you are, and that He always causes you to triumph in Christ, where is that going to come from if you never renew your mind, if you never read and put scriptures inside of you that tell you all of these things? How will you ever know? It helps to know these things. So let this be a little bit of God's will revealed to you today. It's important that we renew our minds to His Word. In verse 24, and that you put on the new man. Put on the new shirt you just bought. Put on the new blouse. Put on the new pants that you just bought. Jesus bought your new suit, and He paid a lot more than you did. Put it on. Wear it. Make something of your life with it. Don't sit back and wait for God to do everything. He already did. He already made the full provision. What does He expect us to do? Walk it out. But if we don't renew our minds to know what He said about it, how can we do that? And here's two real good nuggets today. I'm famous for little gold nuggets. I'm going to give you two today. That's all for now. Just two. Number one, you were created in righteousness. Now don't fall for another old church doctrine. I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. Don't blaspheme the work of the cross like that. That's a terrible thing to go around confessing out of people's mouths. You know, don't fall into those kind of church doctrines. Follow what the Scripture says. Did you know that when Jesus went to the cross, there was an exchange that took place? 2 Corinthians 5:21, just a few verses after that one, it says, He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. There was an exchange. When Jesus went to the cross, He took our sin nature upon Himself, and He exchanged that with us. We now have His righteous nature. You've been made the righteousness of God in Christ. That means what? Be careful how you speak about your brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. Be mindful of how you treat them. Be mindful of a lot of things. But knowing that we've been made righteous and God has declared us to be righteous, you going to argue with Him about that? Have fun. It won't work. And you lose every time. That's why you never need to ask why. He's always right. Don't waste your time. If He says you're righteous, you're righteous. What does that mean? When you start believing it, you begin walking it out. If you go around and confess, well, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace, well, that's what you'll be. You'll just get older and keep sinning and thank God for His grace. Never changing lifestyles, never changing behaviors, never changing patterns, never changing bondages, never changing addictions. Why? Well, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. And that's exactly what the person becomes. He becomes what he speaks. And that does a terrible number on the work of the cross. Christ died to give you a righteous nature. That's the first nugget. And the second one, you've been created in true holiness. Holiness, the Bible uses another word, sanctified. Our sanctification, set apart, made holy for God. Don't go around with a big iron and looking for everybody's spot, blemishes, and wrinkles to iron out. You know why? Because from God's viewpoint, they don't have any. So if you're going to plug your iron in and do some wrinkling, smoothing, might be a good idea to check your own britches and see if you got any wrinkles in them. Don't go around trying to find somebody else's to iron out. Hello? Aren't you glad you came today?
Yeah.
Good. But you see, when you know who you are, when you know what Christ has done for you, it changes the way we live. It changes the way we think. It changes everything because everything was changed. Oh, we still have to work out the deal about not giving in to our flesh. It always wants to do what it wants to do until the spirit man says, no, you're not doing that. And it won't change until we allow the Word of God to renew our minds. And don't pray, oh Lord, renew my mind. That's not a prayer that's going anywhere further than your eyebrows. You know why? Because God said, you renew your mind. Oh, duh, you mean I got to do something? I thought I was saved by grace and now I got to do all this stuff? Well, if you want to win, yeah, there are some do's. There's a lot more don'ts than there are do's, but the do's are really better than the don'ts. So don't get caught up on the do's and don't worry about them. Just do them. We can get the CD later, Priscilla, don't worry. Oh, man. True holiness, not the false holiness. And just be who you are. Don't try to. Just do it. Just be. Just be. You are what this says you are. You are who it says you are. And remember who wrote the book. This is all written from God's viewpoint, not ours. He sees everything from the beginning to the end. And if he says you're righteous, and he says your holiness is real and true, that's the work of the cross. And it was the blood of Jesus Christ that made you holy and that made you righteous. And God said so. And if you have a problem with that, go talk to him. All I am is I'm just bringing you a couple nuggets this morning to keep you encouraged and get your minds off the humdrum of whatever happened all week and come here where we can shout together and cry together, pray together, have some good news together, and walk out of here feeling like it was worth coming today. These are really truths that you're going to find when you start reading two very dangerous books of the Bible, the book of Colossians and the book of Ephesians. Those are very dangerous. I double dog dare you to read them. At least once.
Sin has been forgiven.
Whoa! somebody's been listening.
Woohoo!
That is such a truth. That is such a revelation to people that we're not who we used to be. And this kind of just ushers right in, not only with the scriptures that we opened with this morning, but the theme of that we might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. And last week was the second week into this. We talked about worthy and how much is our walk worth? Because worthy implies something of value. We talked about you touching my new car, I smash your face. You mess up my trip to the mall, I'll do something. No, but there's something that is worth something. And walking worthy of the Lord puts the value on our relationship with God. Does my walk in the Lord come before my wife and children? Yes. Does my walk in the Lord come between or before your husband and yourself? Yes. It means saying no to some things that come our way. It means saying yes to some other things that God sends our way. So there's value. And at the end of it last week, I brought you to the place of Matthew chapter 13. And we talked about how God values your life and his relationship with you. Because you see, when you see it from his viewpoint, it changes everything. We're so often focused on us and our perspective or our viewpoint. But what if you just for once looked and read your Bible from the heart of God? What was in God's heart when these words were given to be written down? And I brought you to Matthew 13, verses 45 and 46. We're talking about worth now. This is how much you're worth to your Heavenly Father. This is no small chunk of change right here. Matthew chapter 13, verses 45 and 46. Only two verses, but I would like to present this from your Father's perspective. Jesus, in all of his teaching about the kingdom of God, he did many parables about the kingdom. Those parables talked about the love of the Father all the time. This one again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man looking or seeking godly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, he went ahead and he bought it. The traditional presentation of this little short parable is when a person comes to Jesus Christ and he becomes the Lord of their life, suddenly Jesus, from our perspective, becomes the pearl of great price. I will give anything. I will sacrifice anything. I will make sure that my walk brings him honor and glory to the best that I know how to do for all the days of my life. Because he becomes more important and more valuable to me than anything that this world has or could ever offer. That's the traditional perspective of this parable. But what if you looked at it from God's perspective? God was like the rich merchant man, dealing in pearls, if you will. Today it might be someone who deals in other precious metals, perhaps gold or silver. He looks all over the world. He's linked up with his computer websites and the stock market and any way that he can to make himself knowledgeable and wise to make a good investment. And when he finds that what he's looking for, he's willing to pay everything for it that he has. Maybe his land, his property, his house or houses or all of the money that he has accumulated, everything that he has at his availability. That's how much this merchantman was willing to invest in one pearl. And I submit to you today that God is that merchantman. Your life is that pearl. Because God searched this whole world looking for someone. He wasn't lonely, but someone that he could find that would show what he's really like in this world. And that's why your lives are so valuable. When God puts his Holy Spirit inside of us, you don't have to worry the rest of your life, what does God want me to do? He wants you to show others what he's really like. You're that pearl of great price. God gave everything, including his own son on the cross for each one of you. That's how valuable your life is. That's why this teaching is important. Walking worthy. Walking as though there was a great price paid, because there was. We didn't pay it all. We said, yes, Jesus, come into my heart. But he's the one that paid the price. You're the pearl. You're the pearl. And you compare that with another verse in Matthew chapter 26. This has great relevance to this verse of Scripture. Matthew chapter 26, verses 14 through 16. We see what you were worth to God. Well, let's see what he was worth to somebody else. Then one of the disciples, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, what will you give me, and I will deliver? And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. The reason these two, I contrasted them, is because from the one perspective, you see your worth and your value to the Lord. And then on the other side of the spectrum, you see that he was only worth 30 pieces of silver to somebody. And every time that we knowingly compromise our walk, we're selling him short for what he's really worth. And I really want to make that point today. This is very important for us as believers. It isn't in the things that we don't know, because how do we know until we know? But our walk needs to be consistent. You can't have it both ways. It can't be up one day and down the next. God is the same. What is our faith rooted in? If it's not rooted in him and it's not rooted in the word, then it's going to go up and down with circumstances and situations. Every day is a wonderful, wonderful day that God made for each one of us. What we do with it is up to us. It can be an awesome day, or it can be a day to murmur and complain, find fault, or just go off and do our own thing, and then, well, I'll repent before I go to bed tonight, and then it'll be okay. Well, there's some truth in that, but it takes us off course, because all God is looking for is someone that he can reveal himself to through you. Did you know that's why Jesus came? To show us the Father? God took upon himself human form. Everything Jesus did, every healing, every deliverance, every word that he spoke, every doctrine that he taught, he said, this isn't mine, but the Father in me. And just as Jesus was conceived in Mary's womb by a holy seed, conceived by the Holy Spirit, each one of you as a born-again believer was conceived out of a holy seed, being born again of an incorruptible seed. Peter talked about that. Each one of us has the same potential to reflect the love of God in our lives, just as Jesus did. That's why that Paul prayed this prayer, that we might walk worthy. He said we might because it's optional. That means God's not going to force us. But there should be some measure of love in us for what he's done that we would want to. That I'm not going to sleep with that person anymore if I'm not married to them. I'm not going to go out and get hammered drunk like I used to. I'm not going to go out and get stoned like I used to. A lot of things that have changed in our lives. And coming back to the scriptures in Ephesians where we started putting off the old man and putting on the new man. This walk is about worthiness. This walk is about value. Your life is so precious to the Lord and precious to each other. You know, we're all connected by the same Spirit. And each one of us should be considered so valuable and so precious. That's why I love coming here, because you're getting it. We don't have any cliques here. Cliques don't fit in here. We don't favor one above another, because we've come to realize together that we're all one in this walk in the Lord. And whatever benefits me is going to benefit you. Whatever benefits you is going to benefit me. That we might walk worthy of the Lord. And then the next part is unto all pleasing. And I just want to come back to Ephesians chapter 4 with that, because we're all capable of change. And change is good. Here are some of the things that the new man reflects. It sounds like that microphone just went through. Didn't it, Tom? You got no signal? Right. I'll just grab one of these and we'll carry on. I am not moved by what I don't hear. Short leash and I'm all set and you're safe. Thank you. Excellent. Ephesians chapter 4, here's some qualities of the new man, the new you and I in Christ. When I was in Africa and I stayed for a month with a family who lived on a coffee plantation, he had coffee and tea, 12 acres of coffee trees and tea plants. And they saved the finest of the coffee and the finest of the tea for their household, and they exported the rest to America. They're no dummies. What you get in a store that's exported at somebody else is rubbish. They keep the best for themselves, just like Jesus with the new wine. He gave the house the best wine available. Kept it for the wedding party. But anyway, here's some things that we might walk worthy unto all pleasing. First off, I got to say, until we know what's pleasing to the Lord, it's very difficult to make sure that we're all going to do this all right all the time every day. But once we have knowledge of something, that's very different. God does not expect us to sit in that day after day, week after week, and month after month, and year after year. That's what we did before we were saved. Why do we want to drag that mess into our new life in Christ? See, there's some things that need to be left behind. So what shall we embrace now? Starting in verse 25, put away lying. Oh my God. See, if you want to know the will of God for your life as a believer, here's a good little checklist. Put away lying. That tells me that the old man must have done a whole bunch of lying, because God said the new man puts it away. So we see the contrast between the old and the new. And on this plantation, the father in the house where I stayed had these nice white, they were like coats that you see that doctors wear, or medical staff, those long, nice, pure white coats. And then this man wore one in the coffee brokerage house where they bought and sold the coffee, and asked him if I could borrow one of those coats, and he let me have his. And so the night that I spoke about these things, I had spent the day making little notes contrasting the old and the new, because you can find the characteristics of the old man by just the opposite of what here is of the new man. And I put all these little notes in all the different pockets in that white coat, and every time I would pull one out, I would give it to somebody to read it. I didn't do that today. It's too hot to wear a coat. But we have the word here. So the first thing is, put away lying. That means stretching the truth, exaggerating. When it comes to the things of the Lord, I know that the tendency is to build up God bigger than himself, and you can't do that. He's got it all. There's nothing we can say that's going to improve him at all. He's it. So we got to watch ourselves about being truthful with people, being honest, being people of integrity. We have a godly character now. Verse 26, be angry and sin not. Actually, that really is written kind of backwards in the old. It means don't let your anger cause you to sin. So be very attentive about, if you feel anger coming on, do something with it really quick. Because in a moment of anger, you can hit somebody, you can hurt somebody, you can run off at the mouth and destroy them in a heartbeat with your words. Be really, really mindful of this. This is part of the new man. If you want to know what God's will is for our lives, here's a great place to come to. This isn't all of it, but it's a really good portion of Scripture that's very descriptive and very helpful to us. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. If you're PO'd at somebody, you better settle it before bedtime. That's not a good time to bring that stuff to bed. Get rid of it. Dump it at the cross so that you don't have to wake up the next morning and find out that your mate died in the night and you never got to tell them, I'm sorry, I forgive you. That's not a pretty picture. Neither give place to the devil. Delivered from all of his power, but the scriptures tell us that he goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's always looking for a way to weasel himself back into our lives. And he can't unless we give him a place. Be really mindful about guarding yourselves about that. I have to do the same. We're all in this together. All of these things apply to all of us in the body of Christ. None of us are any. We're not there. And we won't be until he comes to get us. Then we'll be there. Don't give him place, because he doesn't play fair. He comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But Jesus came that you have life and that you have it more abundantly. Let him that stole steal no more. Oh, here's the word again, you know, a person that's a thief. Judas was a thief, and Jesus put him in charge of the church treasury. Can you imagine that? That's pretty cool. But look at what he ended up doing. You see, the Lord gives every one of us an opportunity to live for him and to glorify him, or to just do our own thing. I think of Matthew, Gospel of Matthew. Matthew was a tax collector. He had quite a little thing going on the side. He was able to stash some money away. And yet when he got saved, he went back and he made it all right with all the people that he had taken from not legally. So if you've stolen anything, stop it. Make it right. Don't bring that into your faith walk. Remember the value of your walk. Remember your relationship first. And And then it says, working with your hands the things which are good, that he may have to give to him that needs. Instead of the thief who continues to take from others, when he gets saved, now he has a new nature. Now what does he do? He works, he earns an honest living, and then he takes his wages and benefits from that job, and he looks to be a blessing to somebody else. Instead of taking, instead of being a taker, now he's a giver. That's a good word for the church. Don't just be takers, be givers in everything. Your life, your love, your compassion, your mercy, your forgiveness, your finances. When God shows you an opportunity to be a giver, and cheerful. Cheerful is important. Verse 29, and I'm sure that if we were to plead guilty at least once, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. The reason I can say that without looking at it is because that's the first verse of scripture I ever remembered after I got saved. I remember that one before John 3:16. Because this is where a lot of us have issues. Before our brain is in gear, our mouth just takes right off in high gear. And I'll tell you, the words that we speak sometimes don't come out of us to build somebody up. We're tearing them down. We're reading their mail, reading them the riot act, doing this, doing that. But as we grow, these things need to go. That's why this is a great portion of scripture. Because these affect our the way we're perceived or received by others. Our reputation is on the line. And if we travel, you know, Paul said that we're ambassadors for Christ. We represent the kingdom of God first. And if you're blessed to go out of our country to a foreign country, after you represent Christ and the kingdom of God, we represent our nation. America is judged by the people who see us when we go out of this country. The hissy fits we throw in airports, the temper tantrums when I didn't get my boarding pass or they lost my bag. People judge us by those things. These are important things. And we can't let the little things go by because they mean everything. And our words create. And grieve not the Holy Spirit. Anything that we say or do to the word, the Spirit of God is grieved. But God deals with us with those things. We know that. That's why we have the Holy Spirit, so that he can bring us, he can bring correction to us. That's not my job. That's not your job. That's his job. He's the one. So grieving the Spirit is, that's our check in our spirit. When we, I know I shouldn't say this, but, well, the but was him. I know I shouldn't do this, but, well, that was him trying to stop you from doing it. Because when we grieve him, we got to remember the next part of this verse. That's the same Holy Spirit that sealed us until the day of redemption. The day of redemption is when we get our new glorified, resurrected bodies. That means he's got us sealed for a really long time. Sealed means covered, protected, nurtured. Oh my, this is really getting into some heavy-duty stuff. Let all bitterness, not just a little bit. I want to hang on to that a little bit longer because I just want to make them pay the price a little longer. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Malice is motive. It's very important. God is more interested in what's in the heart, because that's what comes out of our mouth. Whatever's in our heart's going to come out of our mouth. That's why these verses are connected like this. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So, I still have a lot of work to do in this area. I can flip out and get upset just as quick as any of you. It's usually at myself. People don't make me upset or mad. That's never been an issue. It's so hard to get angry at somebody. You can push all my buttons and I still won't be upset. But if I push them, woohoo! But he says all the things to put away, but here's some things to embrace now. Because here's the answer. And be kind one to another. See, instead of all of the above behavior, now he calls us to be kind to one another. Tender-hearted. Tender-hearted is the opposite of bitterness and resentfulness and wrath and anger. Forgiving one another. Oh, I forgive you. Oh, but you didn't read the rest. Even as God, for Christ's sake, forgave you. Can you imagine God? I forgive you. You better not do it again, I'll blast you. Now, when we forgive, we're to forgive the same way he does. And leave it. Do you know God could remember everything we've ever done, but because of his character and who he is, he chooses not to? Wouldn't that be an interesting concept in Christianity? We forgive, and then we decide that we're just not going to hold charges against that person anymore. Imagine that. What a nifty way of living. And did you know, in this walk of worthiness before the Lord, walking worthy, when we forgive others as Christ forgave us, that's when we're the most like our Father. But if we do the other stuff, that's the old Father we lived under his authority and his dominion and power. So you see the two contrasted here, and that was with intent, so that when it talks about walking worthy of the Lord, without the contrast, it's difficult to see the importance of those scriptures that Paul prayed. This was a prayer that Paul prayed. It's only one verse, but it has the power, if we'll receive it, to make a huge difference in our walk. And I believe that that's probably where I'll stop today. I don't apologize if I kicked anybody's hornet's nest today. It's because there's more to this walk than just shouting about the blessings. There's a walk to be walked, and God has paid the price with it, and that settles it. Isn't that awesome? So you don't ever have to worry whether you're worthy or not. God already took care of that. He said, yeah, you were. So that means you are. If you were, then you are. Amen. Well, want to pray for those of you that want prayer.